Why are you here? Why are you here this morning? It's Sunday. To worship the Lord? To praise God? Why? Why would you want to do that? Because of your love for Him? To say thank you, Kathy, would you say? Because of His love for us? I think it's always worth asking, why are we here? Why do we worship? Why do we sing songs of praise and do these prayers and gather in my office at 10:10 to pray to God? Why do we do these things? We'll come back to that. This week we are in part two, well, kind of part three, of our conversation about our new our in-process vision statement. And last week, we looked at the first line, which was living the gospel life. Can you say that with me? Living the gospel life. Oh, together. Say one more time. Living the gospel life together. That's the first line of our vision statement. I'm going to bring the whiteboard over here again. Just going to use it briefly this morning. But that first line of the vision statement is kind of the summary. That basically what we want to do here and who we are is to live the gospel life together. So this is kind of like a picture of the gospel life. There are three more lines of the vision statement. And these are lines that kind of describe what the gospel life is. And so we're going to put those in here. So these things make up the gospel life. And we'll look in the coming weeks at discipleship and mission, but today we're looking at the first of those, which is glorifying God in whole life worship. So when we live the gospel life together, one of those things that we do together is glorify God in whole life worship. And I think this really makes sense because I would suggest that God glorifying worship is a natural part of the gospel life. I think that's what Paul is saying in Philippians 3. The people of God are worshipers. These two things are inseparable from one another. Unless you are a worshiper, you're not the people of God, and vice versa. In verse 3, Paul writes, "For it is we who are the circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and boast in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh." I've kind of retranslated that for you. What I think Paul is saying is this. We are the true people of God. And then he goes on to describe what that means. People whose worship is inspired by the Holy Spirit, who are always talking about how great Jesus is, and who know that we could never earn what God has given us as a gift. This is who God's people are. They're worshipers. Who talk about Jesus and how great he is, who praise Jesus, and who don't put any confidence in ourselves. So for the people of God, the focus of our lives is not on us and what we do. The most important thing about your life is not what you do. The most important thing of our lives for the people of God is who God is and what God has done and is doing and will do. So when we say glorifying God, what does it mean to glorify? The term really is like shining a big spotlight on God. Now, where do you usually see spotlights? On a stage. Great. Now, who gets the spotlight shined on them on the stage? The star. Or at least the person who's doing the most interesting thing at that particular time. And why do they shine the spotlight on them, that person? To highlight them. Because they're the ones you should be looking at, right? So when they shine the spotlight, what they're saying is, we want you to look here, because this is where the action is happening. This is where you should look right now. That's the idea of glorifying God in worship. We're shining the spotlight on God. Because as Christians, we are people, as Paul says, who put no confidence in the flesh, but boast in Christ. For us, we know that the most interesting and important person that we could be looking at is Jesus. He's the star of this drama that is unfolding all around us. And we glorify him and shine the spotlight on him because we want other people to know that this is where you should be looking. If you really want to see what's going on in this world, if you really want the most interesting and adventurous and powerful life, you should be looking at Jesus. That's what we do in worship. Everything we worship is not about you. It's something we do and you do, but it's not about you. It's about God and shining the spotlight on him. And when we say God is holy, 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 and powerful and loving and all of these things, we're just shining the spotlight there and saying, we need to be looking there, and the whole world should be looking there. That's what we do. After Paul says this, he goes on to tell a bit of his story about how he became a real worshiper. In verses 4 through 7, he talks about all of the things about his life before he met Jesus. And in verse 4 through 7, he's basically saying, I was shining the spotlight on myself. He goes, I have more confidence in the flesh. I was circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Pharisee. I was zealous. I was righteous. Spotlight's on him. And then in verse 7, he says, yet, whatever gains I once had, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss compared to the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. In essence, Paul had an experience where he realized that he wasn't the star, and that he wasn't the most interesting person that everyone should be looking at. He came to an encounter with Jesus, and we've talked about this before, on the Damascus Road. Paul gets knocked off his horse, and he encounters Jesus, and from that point on, he realizes that his life is about shining the spotlight on Jesus. So for Paul, worship is not an obligation. It's not something he has to do. It's more of an obsession. He says in verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. One of the most endearing things I find about Paul is if you read Paul's letters in your Bible, Romans through Philemon. That's Paul's letters in your Bible. And if you read through them, what's really cool is that when Paul mentions Jesus, sometimes he just goes off on these tangents. So, he's like kind of ADHD for Jesus or something. Like, he's talking and talking and talking, and he mentions Jesus, and then he goes off, and Jesus is all of these things, and then he goes back to what he was saying. But for Paul, like, whenever he mentions Jesus, he's just like, oh, I want to shine the spotlight there. I want people to know Jesus because look at all the things he has done and who he is and all his love and grace and his sacrifice for us and his resurrection. And worship for Paul is not an obligation. It is a natural part of his life. For God's people, worship is not something we do primarily because we should do it, or because it's tradition, or because it's Sunday, or any other reason, or because it makes us feel good, for that matter. Worship is a natural response to the experiences that we've had of God. In Exodus 14 and 15, that Donna read, what had just happened? God had just delivered his people out of Israel, parted the Red Sea, led them through, and then they sing. And when they say, God is my salvation, that's not just like some line. They experience that. And what are they going to do but sing his praises? It's not this obligation that once they get to the other side of the Red Sea, they have to worship. It's they've seen God work, and so they worship and sing and praise God. I think of Thomas, the disciple who encounters the resurrected Christ. And what does he do? He says, my Lord and my God. That wasn't an obligation. It was a natural response to his experience of Jesus. When we realize that God really deserves the spotlight, We celebrate and we sing and we dance and we sometimes we just silently sit back and adore God. That's worship. As Psalm 115 says, not to us, but to your name be the glory. We don't want the spotlight on us. We want to shine the spotlight on you, God. So what is God glorifying worship? Worship that glorifies God, I think, is a part of the gospel life. And I just want to show you how it works. It's an organic thing. It's a natural thing. So here's worship. And here's discipleship. And discipleship we'll talk about in the next couple of weeks, but it's when God is transforming you into becoming more like Jesus. So discipleship is part of that gospel life, and mission is part of that gospel life. When we're going out and loving people and serving people and sharing the good news about Jesus with people. Now, this is supposed to be kind of a cycle that feeds itself. So when we experience God in discipleship, when we experience his work in our lives and his transforming stuff, we go back to worship and we say, God, we've experienced you and we're so thankful for you. We want to praise you. We want to worship you. And when we're in mission and we see God moving at Feed My Sheep or with your neighbors or somewhere where you're seeing God work in other people's lives, you want to go back and praise God. When you're involved in these things, worship is natural because you're seeing God move. If you're not involved in discipleship and places where God is moving in your life and you're hearing God's voice in the scriptures and you're with a community where you're growing together towards Christ, and if you're not involved in mission, where you're out loving people and serving people and seeing God work and do things and show up within other people's lives, you're not going to be really moved to worship. Unless you see God, worship is not a natural thing. Now, sometimes worship is a discipline. I realize that, okay? So sometimes we're just not seeing that, and sometimes we just have to say to ourselves, okay, I'm the people of God, and so I worship. And sometimes we need worship to kind of get this process going again. But if that's all it is, all the time, worship is not going to be very natural, and it's not going to be very enjoyable for that matter, and it's not going to be very glorifying to God. I think many of us put too much pressure on Sunday morning worship. Too much pressure on it. We try to make the hour or hour and 15 minutes of worship on Sunday the entire gospel life. In essence, we try to fit discipleship and mission and the whole gospel life, this big circle, into this little circle. And that's not what it is. It's a natural response to where we're seeing God move in the whole gospel life that we're living. It cannot be contained in an hour on Sunday morning. Think of worship like a pot of soup. I think many of us view worship on Sunday morning as this soup that's been prepared by the pastor or the liturgist or our organist or pianist, okay? So we all, or I maybe, have my experiences of God throughout the week and in the scriptures and whatever, and I put it in a pot and I simmer it together and I make your bulletin and everything and I bring it on Sunday morning and serve it to you and you partake. But real worship is a communal thing. So like as the pastor, I bring the pot and I bring some of my ingredients, my experiences of God throughout the week and before and in the past. I bring those ingredients, but you all bring your ingredients too. So as you've been experiencing God throughout the week and discipleship and mission and maybe even struggling with God in prayer or what have you, you bring all of those ingredients to the pot as well. And on Sunday morning, we just put them in the pot and let them simmer. And we enjoy the aroma, and then we feast together. Sunday morning worship should be the product of gospel lives that we're living throughout the week. That is real worship. That is a natural, organic part of our lives. Everyone bringing their experience of God together. That moves us. That moves worship from being this event that we consume to being a community celebration of how we're all seeing God work. The gospel life is rooted in the gospel. Sounds simple enough. That God created us to live this dynamic, joyful life with Him, cultivating and caring for His creation, doing fulfilling and good and joyful work. That's what God created us for. But we, as human beings, turned away from that relationship, and so our work became hard, and our life became less joyful, our lives became more broken, because we either turned away from God completely or tried, instead of having our whole lives be lived in response in relationship with God, we try to put God in a little corner of our lives. But the good news is that God doesn't leave us in that place. That God sent Jesus here so that we could interact with God, so that we could be forgiven from through the cross for all the times we walk away and turn away and put God in a box, and through the resurrection so that we could have this hope that there is new life possible forever with God, that life of joy and dynamic relationship and cultivating and caring that we were created for, we can have that through Christ. Your life as it is now does not have to be all your life is. God has something so much more, and you can have it through this gospel life of living with Jesus, with His community. This is good news. Gospel means good news. And when we really experience the gospel as this good news, this best news that we could possibly have, we're going to worship. And we're going to want to praise. And we're going to call on God because we want to see Him more and more in our lives and in the lives of people around us. If our worship is dry and stale and boring, it's most likely because we're not experiencing God in discipleship and mission. But as we live the gospel life together here, as we say, my gospel life isn't just about Sunday morning, but it is every day I'm living as a disciple and I'm going out in mission in my workplace and in my neighborhood and in my family, we are going to be a God-glorifying, worshiping community where we are constantly shining that spotlight on God. Point Place United Church of Christ, we want to be a community where we are living the gospel together and glorifying God in whole life worship. Let's pray. Jesus, You are the star of this show, of this drama. Lord, help us to see You in action. Help us to see You moving. And when we see You, Lord, give us that desire to shine the spotlight on You. Whether that means singing praises, or thanking You quietly, or sharing You with others. May our lives be about shining the spotlight on You. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.